Mr. Benedict de Souza will it. Mr. de Souza, did you read the Chunan Shimbun during that time?
Oh yes, because everybody was just hungry for news, whether it was true or false. We did read it, and it was quite cheap. I think initially they did give it away free. It was quite cheap, and of course we had to read it to find out first the state of war outside of Singapore, and the places of entertainment was almost nil, and where we could get food and how food was in distributed, whether there was work for anyone, anything like that. Of course, it wasn't in any specialized column like we have in these days, you know, under situations vacant and appointments. But they just gave us things like that, and it was just one or two sheets, and they did also advise us on how to live healthily, what foods to eat, and things like that in the beginning. But after that, it wasn't much. We were more concerned with the truth that was happening outside of Singapore, in Britain, in Europe rather. The war was still going on there.
Were there any ways that the Japanese tried to promote their language or their culture?
They did have it, but mostly for government employees, whoever worked under them. They did have some classes there. I know for sure because my brother-in-law was in the PWD, and he used to go for classes. And in spite of his age, I think he did very well. I used to be very fond of it. Naturally, I wanted to not to be left in the dark or behind, so I used to learn it from books that he brought back, and learn it from the Shonen Shimbun, how to write katakana, which was the easy, which is still the easiest, and straightforward in the sentences. Good morning, how are you, where are you going, how much is this, can I get it cheaper, and things like that. So we were not, and I was fairly good, and I used to do this after my third job, after playing music at night. Come back, I said my bath and have my supper, or my second supper I would say, and then sit down, because after your bath you can't sleep, sit down and learn.
Besides classes for the government servants or self-study, do you know whether the Japanese tried to promote it in any other ways?
I can't pick it out definitely. Maybe it'll come back after some few months, a few days, a few weeks, but at the moment I can't remember unless someone, I ask people and someone tells me that, you know, it did happen, that it might refresh my memory. But often I would say I don't know, or I can't remember.
What about their culture? Did the Japanese try, besides having those films, did they have any other activities organized to promote their culture, their way of life?
Not to my knowledge, because we were more concerned with our stomachs, how they were going to be filled the next day, and with what. And if there was any, maybe it was only for the elite, not for people like myself. We were not, to be frank, truthful with you, we were not concerned with that culture so much as to what we had read in the past about them, and the way they bowed to each other, and about five times before and five times after, and they, you know, the way they dressed, they were very clean and things like that. We did admire them, apart from their harshness and crudeness.
You mentioned that there were some people who listened secretly to radio news. Did you know of anyone who were caught by the Kempeitai or by the Japanese army? before.
Yes, but not initially. Later, very much later on, when I went to Bahau. Yes, there we were not supposed to listen. We could listen to music, but not to news.
Do you remember any incidents that were connected with the Kempe time during that time when you were still in Shonan?
When I was still in Shonan-do. Oh yes, there were many, but we just shuddered to hear about it, and we didn't like to find out. And it could be one of your friends, just who's gone in, who was given the water treatment and that, things like that, or bashed. So we did not gloat over it, and we didn't want to go out to find out more. It just, if it was passed through us, because we just listened and felt sorry for them. We didn't probe further.
Mr. D'Souza, what were you doing during the Japanese occupation? Do you get any job?
For the first 6 months, there was nothing doing. So, whatever we could do in the house, whatever we could sell in the black market, we did. But that was very, very slow. And it was only, I think, roughly about 6 months after they came in that I was told about it, I can't remember whether we read about it, but eventually a few friends and I signed up to be a laborer cutting grass. And when we went there, we found that we had more than a few friends. Because everybody had thought the same thing. Why stick at home? I mean, we had no choice, and there were no offices being opened yet, so we had to take something that came our way rather than do nothing, and at least we have a job, and perhaps we might get something better, in the way of rations and all that. So we applied.
That was 6 months after the Japanese came in.
About 5, 6, or 7 months.
Where was the office?
It was not an office. We just had to report in the open air, in the open field. And we used to get one or two or three overseers who will just call us, give us a sickle, tell us where to go and cut the grass. And we started work at ...8:30 that time, which was 7 o'clock our time, and we finished at 2:30, which was 1:30 British time. And it was not a very difficult job, and we were still young, we were from the army, we were still rough and tough, and all we had to do was just wait for the chance for our break, have a smoke or go in the shade, drink some water, and that was all. And the days, the time flew very fast.
Initially, when you went to sign up for this job, where did you go to?
The location at that time was in Newton, Lenky Road.
Was it an office?
No, just an open air. But, come all my friends, and here he come, and that's all. We went there and just, okay, give us your name, your house, where your address, and that's all. There was no identity card then. Okay, here's your sickle, here's your knife. Go on, follow this truck, go somewhere, and cut around there.
So the day that you went to sign up for this job, that you started work immediately?
Immediately.
Who was the person who was taking down your particulars?
He was somebody already in the health department. And so I suppose he must have been called up by the Japanese in the health department, and sort of get your workforce and get this area cleaned up, looked after,
So this come under the health department.
Health department.
Were all of you only responsible for cutting up the grasses in the areas specified?
Yeah, we were only responsible to cut the grass, and if we did come across anything unusual, well, we would have had to give it to the overseer, who would give it to his boss. But if we decided not to give it to the overseer, we kept it for ourselves. I mean, if we find a wad of notes, we're not going to give it to the overseer. If we had found a tin of cigarettes, which was then still in usage, we would have kept it for ourselves, even if it was moldy. You know, we were very hard-pressed for cigarettes those days.
Were there many such cases?
No, a few isolated cases. If there was anything that we found and it was useless, we used to make it a point to go over to look for the overseer, take our time off from cutting, you see, give us a bit of a breather. Say, okay, there's nothing much in it, go and bury it or something like that.
How many people would normally be assigned to an area?
Well, it all depended, you see, on the workforce on that particular day. If we had, say, 100% turnout, then we'll be put to an area, say, about, say, 2 square miles, north, south, east, and west. You see, he'll divide it, you know, equally, or as he pleased. Okay, 10 of you go there, 50 go there, 20 go here, one stay with me. The person who stayed with him had a kind of a easy day, because he was supposed to take his bicycle and go out and find out if anybody was sick, anybody need anything, or if there was any message, he would do it. And that was all. It wasn't very tough. The only tough part of it was the heat. Nothing much.
When you went to work, who would you report to every day?
The same overseer.
The one at Newton?
In Newton. Of course, I'm sorry?
Was he the one who registered your name?
Yeah. So, you see, we moved. It's like sheep, you know, sheep grazing in the grass. We move. As we finished this area, we used to move and move and move. So, we went, I don't know, as far as almost Karang Krabau side, Rangoon Road, Owen Road, and all that area. But we started off there, and it was easy for me because my house was only 5 minutes walk away from the work site. Then later we went by bicycles, or we hadn't one, we used to give a lift to it, those who hadn't. 3 on a bike made no difference. And the tires those days were not inflated tires, they were all solid tires. So we could carry 6 if we wanted, they wouldn't harm the tires but the bike.
So as the area changed, you had to report at different places?
Different places.
Was the overseer the same person throughout?
Throughout. Until I asked to be transferred to be an oiler. That means we had to carry a big can on our backs with full of anti-malarial oil and go and oil the areas where, you know, drains or any puddles with water. And we had a push cart as well from place to place. We used to fill up at a certain in Lower Bukit Timah, where the old STC company was, around there, fill up our oil down there and push it to the area that we were going to cover for that particular day. And being the one with the most initiative amongst the three, I was made, like, you know, IC, in charge of them, but without in a specific name there. It's just, you know, orally say, okay, Ben, you be in charge of these two. And it appeared eventually that I spoke the better English and all that. I was from the army, had more initiative. And I even went further to draw maps of the area as best I could. Then I was made really IC, in charge of them. I wasn't much more in salary, but we had a little bit more in rations, a little bit more. And then I was even asked to go to the health office, which is the high court, you know, the old building. Sit down there and do my work with the real things. And I knew beans about how to draft a plan and draw plans. I knew nothing about it, but somehow or other I got on.
When did you become an oiler?
I think it must have been about 6 months after I joined as a grass cutter. Could be less than maybe 3 months or 4 months.
As a grass cutter, how would you be given your assignment? Were there any registration each morning when all you reported to the overseer?
All he was concerned with was our attendance. As long as we were there, okay, and we have to work fast because you can't remain too long. One of the Japanese chessmen just come along and say, "Kura, Kura, what are you doing here? You ought to be on the road. It's already 8 o'clock or what have you." You see, so you have to hurry up and say, "Okay, okay, okay. Present, 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 okay. You fellas, take the truck or your bicycles and go to a certain area." Then, before leaving that area that day, we will be told, "Okay, meet here tomorrow. The next time, we'll meet there." So there was not much of, you know, transportation involved. That was that.
Did you know your overseer, who did he have to take his instructions from, and who did he report to?
He had to take it from somebody in the office, and we hardly saw that chap. Sorry, he was a very well-known man, Mr. Perry. Not the Fred Perry, the tennis player, but he was a very well-known man. He was in charge of a lot of things, and his sons took after him as well. He was what we call the health inspector, or I think that was a name designated to them. And he again had Japanese above him.
You mean your overseer reported back to Mr. Perry?
As and when he required, it was required, or as and when he had to go himself. But Mr. Perry was more involved in the anti-malarial section, that is the oilers. That was his main job. But of course, if we leave the grass to grow, it will grow and it will cover puddles and pools and what have you, so we won't know. The oilers will not know where to go and oil. Whereas when you cut it down, see the oil, so they report, okay, the next time the anti-malarial people come around, go and oil that place and safeguard us from malaria.
What was your supervisor's attitude towards the laborers?
He was a very nice man. I mean, all the supervisors were very nice. They were polite. They had to be a little strict, show that they were in command, but that was all. They're very nice.
How many supervisors were in charge of all of you?
Well, we had one, but then, you know, they used to meet from, say, zone A and zone B used to meet. Sometimes zone B overseer will come to ours. And so we came to know all of them.
So actually, for each group, there was only one?
There was only one. And his means of transportation was also on bicycle.
These overseers, were they Chinese or were they of other race?
We had one by the name of Billy Low, he was Chinese. We had another Eurasian. And yeah, I think that's about all I can remember.
What about the laborers? What were their background like?
All walks of life.
What was their race, their education, and so forth?
Oh, We had all races. The education varied. As I said, when I was transferred to be an oiler, the two under me had very, very little education. Mine was a little bit higher than they, and it's because of my training in the army and my discipline in the army and my initiative that I came up.
What about the age group of these people?
I was about 21 or 22, I think. We had my age group. As far as I can say offhand, up to the age of between 35 and 48, I think.
Were there any females working?
No.
How much were you paid?
We were paid $1 a day. No work, no pay.
Did you get your pay at the end of each day or?
End of the month.
So the overseer would be the one to check whether you were working?
Yeah.
Would he be the same person to give you the pay?
No. We had somebody coming around in the bicycle. We used to meet... Sorry. We had to go to the office. The office was the Supreme Court there. Somewhere around there. Queue up and get our salary very fast.
All of you were paid in cash?
In cash. There was no Unicard those days.
Did you have to show anything before you could collect your pay?
No, the overseer stood there and he knew who was who, section by section.
You mentioned something about extra rations being given to all of you.
Yeah, we had little rice given to us. Rice. We had cigarettes. I'm talking about the laborers. Rice, cigarettes, some sugar, salt, cigarettes, I think that was about all. Oh, I forgot to mention that before I joined up as a laborer, we were also entitled to each family was entitled to rations, and only that, of course, rations. Sorry, only you won't get more. Is it? Although the shopkeepers give us a bit less and keep the rest and sell, flog it black market.
Where would you get your extra rations from?
From the head office.
The health department.
Health department.
Would you get it at the same time that you get your pay?
That's right. At the same time.
Could you remember the quantity that was given to each labourer?
No, but it was barely sufficient to last a week. At the rate we were going, we were, labouring. We needed strength to boost up our energy.
But you only got the rations once a month?
Once a month.
Was the ration given out equally among all the labourers, or were some people given more?
No. It's only those overseers had more. You went there as a unit, as a single person. So whether you were fat or thin or old or young, you had the same. Maybe there'd be a little bartering amongst themselves, I don't know. I never bartered. I just took whatever I had and trudged all the way back home to Newton.
As a grass cutter, were you given any uniform?
No. We were not given. We had to use our own clothes, which went very fast as well.
What about any pass or armband to identify yourself?
I can't remember that part of it. I don't think so.
While you were working as a grass cutter, do you remember whether any pleasant or unpleasant incidents happening?
Amongst ourselves? No. Well, we did have a few, tips, like, but only by word of mouth only. Apart from that, we were a happy family. We had to. We were first and foremost, there were a lot of jokes going around, and you see, you do your bit, I do my bit. And we were also scared if we did come into any fight. The Japanese were against that, you know. They did not like any squabbles. They did not like any squabbles amongst ourselves. You have to you settle it afterwards. But don't get caught either. You settle it. There's a fight in the road. They have to catch both of them and put them in. Or bash both of them up.
Were there any such incidents happening when you were there?
At that time, no. But later on, yes, I did have a bare fist fight with one of my good friends who was also a boxer. That was later on. And it was stopped by a Japanese.
In this job?
Yeah, but when I was transferred later on, we went to stay in Katong. And we had... I could join up with other people there doing the same job. But there, I was, after being transferred to be an oiler, when I went to Katong, I applied again, and I was given a job as overseer over children who had to pick up old tin cans and bottles, because you know, that was, number one, bad for old tin cans, you may get cut, that for the safety of the... of the public. Number two, for any water that may go in and be a breeding ground for mosquitoes. And it was there that, during that time rather, one of my children found some bullets. Like a good guy, I went to take it to the police station, and I was questioned at home 2 or 3 times by a good friend of mine. I told him, look, the children found it, they gave it to me, I gave it to you, I did my duty, what else? Oh, he tried to, you know, squeeze up more for me, maybe I was involved and I couldn't get the sale of it. Well, eventually, it died a natural death, I was not called in for any more questioning.
How was the discipline among the labourers like when you were working as a grass cutter? Did the overseer have strict?
The overseer was a little strict because we used to play about, that's all. Fool about quite a lot. We did our job, and if there was another 1 hour more, we should go slow with it or rest. And he said, come on, you know, shout at us. But it was all very nice. We never had any fights with the overseers. And even when I was transferred to, when we left, Newton, I went to stay in Katong when I was made overseer. Before being made an overseer, I was still doing grass cutting. I ran back to grass cutting because there was no oilers down there required. And we had a very good rapport with the overseers. As a matter of fact, one of the men's name is Rabu. Rabu and Rapo. He's still alive.
Did he ever punish the laborers?
No. Because if he didn't, I suppose he'd get the Japanese punishing him. Only those who, you know, were lazy and didn't come to work and they expected they should come late, he used to chew them off, that's all. That's fair.
All in all, do you know how many laborers did this department have?
Oh, you mean all around Singapore? I wouldn't know. But quite a lot, because I was talking first initially in the Newton area and then in the Katong area, then we had other areas.
In Newton area, how many laborers altogether?
I think I would say roughly between 50 and 60.
So while you were doing your work at Newton, there were other people doing their work simultaneously at other areas?
That is correct.
And all this came under the health department?